Supreme Court decision on Arizona's immigration law. Let's go live to Washington, CBS's Barry Bagnetto.
Three of four key provisions have been struck down because they interfere with federal immigration authority. Supporters of the law say the one that was upheld is important. It allows police to check the immigration status of someone they lawfully stop and suspect to be in the country illegally. Governor Jan Brewer.
Arizona is prepared to move forward to enforce this law that we have fought so hard to defend.
Police who find illegal immigrants must notify federal authorities. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid worries they will profile people by race.
If you're in Arizona and you speak with a little bit of an accent or your skin color is brown, you better have your papers with you.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnetto, CBS News.
Both President Obama and Republican Mitt Romney say it's now clear comprehensive immigration reform is needed out of Congress. The much-awaited Supreme Court decision on health care reform is expected on Thursday.
I'm Bob Fuss in Washington. In a major ruling on juvenile justice, the Supreme Court said criminals under the age of 18, even murderers, cannot be sentenced to life in prison without any chance of parole. Marsha Levick of the Juvenile Justice Project says they recognize children are different from adults.
We cannot tolerate sentencing schemes that don't take account of their lesser culpability and greater capacity for change.
The High Court ruled 5-4 that locking a child up forever violates the Constitution's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
Cyprus asked for a bailout today from the EU, and then Spain made it official. It'll need the money the EU's own countries are willing to make available, maybe more. Spain didn't put a number on its request yet. Energy and bank stocks are getting hit hard today. Economists say Wall Street confidence pretty low that Europe will be able to fix its problems. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
Europe's troubles are sending crude oil below $79 a barrel, and experts predict prices will fall to around $70 in the next 12 to 18 months. And that's good news for drivers.
Oil today, $79.12 a barrel. The Dow today is down 158 points. NASDAQ's off about 59. It would be nice if the rain would go away from Florida's Gulf Coast, but that's not likely for a few days as Tropical Storm Debbie tiptoes closer. Governor Rick Scott.
We're going to receive a significant amount of rain in a large part of the state, 10 to 20 inches of rain overall. We're going to have flooding, potential tornadoes.
That storm is still 75 miles out in the Gulf. Colorado is having its worst wildfire season in a decade. There are at least half a dozen big fires burning. Near Fort Collins, Sheriff Spokesman Nick Christensen.
With the approximately 248 homes that have been lost in this fire, plus the additional 22 that were lost in Estes Park, I just want to emphasize there are resources available for the community.
The bulk of the nation's aviation firefighting fleet is working in the air over Colorado's wildfires. This is CBS News.
Attention! If you love food but hate dieting, the next 60 seconds are crucial to your well-being. Sensa is the weight loss breakthrough of the 21st century. And right now, Sensa is sending free 30-day trials to overweight participants who are frustrated with dieting and ready for a modern-day solution. No prepackaged meals, no counting calories, no meetings. It's the easiest way to lose weight. In a 6-month clinical study, one of the largest of its kind ever conducted, participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa without changing their diet or exercise routine. And now you can too. If you have 30 pounds or more to lose, it's time to stop dieting and try Sensa. Call now for a free 30-day trial of the weight loss breakthrough that has already helped thousands of people lose millions of pounds. Call 1-800-310-0626 today and request your free 30-day trial of Sensa. Again, if you need to lose more than 30 pounds, call 1-800-310-0626 now to request your free 30-day trial. That's 1-800-310-0626.
Advertisers may be able to brand City Hall in your town, or maybe sponsor the police station.
Desperation breeding imagination as cash-strapped cities seek new revenue streams. Baltimore lawmakers have suggested selling ads on the city's fire trucks, just too late to save three stations from closure. Some cities are selling naming rights for municipal buildings, recreation grounds, and mass transit stations. The New York Times says advertisers like the trend because it helps them reach the consumers who avoid conventional ads, but it seems the money raised is rarely enough to fill those ever-deepening budget holes. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
The FDA plans a 2-day meeting later this week on metal hip replacements. Critics have claimed the cure is worse than the problem sometimes. The metal joints that were meant to replace, some of them had to be removed after only 5 years instead of 10 to 15 claimed by the makers. Three times as many metal hips have had to go back to the shop compared to plastic or ceramic hip replacements. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief. And you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go. It doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-713-2890. That's 1-800-713-2890. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-713-2890. That's 1-800-713-2890.
Embark on another week, shall we? And we'll embark together. Your turn.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
That wasn't much of a bark. Hey, it's Monday. Sorry about that. Hey, but the weather's nice outside and stuff. It's going to be pretty mild all week, according to the weather wizard. They say it's going to be mild all week, and that's okay. Cold at night. Do you know what the... I don't know what it got to last night. It was predicted to be 47 degrees last night. That's cold. This is June, isn't it? It's almost July. All right, don't worry about the weather anymore, Bill. You said you weren't going to. Don't. Okay. Well, we got some important things to talk about today. Some very muy importante. I mean, we'll get to those things. But first off, the answer is heart attack. The question, what do you have when you just won an Emmy Award, Alec?
Some people are afraid to get an MRI because they think their only option is being put into a narrow tunnel. This is no longer true. San Luis Diagnostic Center just installed a new 3-Tesla ultra-high-field MRI system with an opening that is 40% larger and much shorter than other systems. Now even the most claustrophobic person can have an MRI without concern. It produces crisper, clearer images that can diagnose disease far earlier, and scans take half as long. As a diagnostic facility dedicated to outpatient care, San Luis Diagnostic Center strives to make sure your appointments are on time and at your convenience. When your doctor tells you you need an MRI, take control of your health care and call San Luis Diagnostic Center at 542-9700 before someone else chooses for you. All major insurances are accepted.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
The Mo you know, the Mo you're going to like, Mo's barbecue right there. So get to Mo's and get some good barbecue. It's always, every day is a good day for barbecue. Yum. Let's do our, according to the Tribune, our highlight in history. On June 25th, 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court in Engel versus Vitale ruled 6-1 that recitation of the state-sponsored prayer in New York State public schools was unconstitutional. In 1876, Lieutenant Colonel George Custer, you remember him, and his 7th Cavalry were wiped out by Sioux and Cheyenne Indians in the Battle of Little Bighorn in Montana, thus inventing the arrow shirt. In 1970, President William Howard Taft signed the White Slave Traffic Act, more properly known as the Mann Act, which made it illegal to transport women across state lines for immoral purposes. In 1981, the Supreme Court ruled mail-only draft registration was constitutional. 1991, the Western Yugoslav Republics of Croatia and Slovenia declared independence. That led to some stuff. In 2009, death claimed Michael Jackson, the king of pop in Los Angeles at the age of 50, and actress Farrah Fawcett in Santa Monica at the age of 62.
Our birthdays today, Basketball Hall of Famer Willis Reed is 70. Actor, comedian Jimmy Walker is 65. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is 58. Rock singer George Michael is 49 today. Rock musician Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 40. Happy birthday to them. But most especially, happy birthday to you if it is yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Happily birthday to you. All right. We have Cal Coast News. A couple stories came up I thought we should share, and you knew this story was coming, and it's arrived. The family of the Santa Maria police officer shot while on duty has filed a suit against the city and the officer who shot Alberto Covarrubias Jr. When two officers attempted to arrest Officer Alberto Covarrubias in January for allegedly having sex with a 17-year-old girl, Covarrubias fired several rounds. His best friend, Officer Matt Klein, then shot and killed him. Family members discount a recent Santa Barbara County District Attorney's Office investigation that determined Officer Matt Klein was legally justified in killing Covarrubias. And the claim that for damages that could reach in the millions, of course. Family says the police department filed a false criminal report, destroyed evidence, and conducted an unlawful arrest. We feel the investigation was conducted with a predetermined outcome, clearing the city and its officials of any wrongdoing, Covarrubias' family attorney Gil Alvandi told KCOY. The attempt to protect officials at the highest levels of the police departments is blatant and unacceptable. Harump. All right, and there's one other story. Oh, well, they had this guy that was just, the guy was drunk is what he was. This guy, you know, luckily, he didn't hit anybody. This is the good news right here. The guy didn't hit anybody. Luckily, could we please get to the story, computer? What do I have to do? I could have just told you what it was without having to get into that darn thing. I know what it was. And a Pomo man is charged with illegally... pigs, but this still happened down there. I got pigs by mistake. This guy was going the wrong way on 101 at no o'clock in the morning, and he was drunk. And so he went out quite a distance, too. If I had clicked right, I would tell you what that was. But anyway, he went quite a ways. It's in the news today. Anyhow, he went quite a ways, and luckily he then got busted by the coppers without running into anybody. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on at calcoastnews.com. Join them at any time during the day, 24/7 or night. And don't forget, in the upper right-hand corner, talk is cheap. We have a podcast. We have live broadcast. We have live streaming. All that good stuff. All right. That's what we got. Well, here it was right here. It's right in front of me. I had the paper open right to it. From Santa Maria to nearly Arroyo Grande is how far this guy, Raymond J. Ramos, of Napomo, went. And so he was traveling north about 70 miles an hour on the highway's southbound number one lane. Several people had called to report a speeding wrong-way driver as far south as Santa Maria. So anyway, he's no longer in custody. They don't know what happened to the guy. Anyway, that's what's going on. The big news for the week is what? Walmart and Atascadero. Tomorrow, the city council says, this is what we think. I will remind you of something, because I went through the trouble of going down to the Walmart in Arroyo Grande the day after the Walmart in Arroyo Grande opened. The city council meeting in Arroyo Grande, the week that it was approved, had 200 people, the largest they'd ever had at a city council meeting, of course, in Arroyo Grande. 200 people showed up to voice their displeasure with the idea of a Walmart store in Arroyo Grande. The first day the Walmart store opened, it did over eight. There was, I don't know how much money it did. There was over 8,000 purchases made. The manager wouldn't say, well, that's how much money we made. They said we had over 8,000 people made a purchase. It was about 8,200 or something. So you have this side over here with the 200. You have this side with the people and the money and everything. 8,000 people saying, we're going to spend some money here. Okay, so this is kind of how you have to ask yourself, you know, when you're looking at tomorrow night in Arroyo Grande, you know, what does this all mean? That's what it meant. That's what it meant. In Atascadero, that's what it meant in Arroyo Grande. So we'll see. All right, that was one big. That's just one big, huge thing going on. You know, Dodgers lost again. That's the next best thing going on. There's so much. There's so much. The Supremes met and held up part of Arizona's immigration law thing. As you heard on the news, and this is the part where they can profile people and say, we need to see that you're a citizen, which is the one, that was the thing, the reason it ever went to the Supreme Court to begin was to contest that. Well, guess what? While they chucked out a lot of other stuff that was really unimportant to that law, the main body, the main point of the law, which was to say, well, we can check and see if people are here illegally and then turn them over to the federales, I guess they didn't. You can't arrest them and turn them over. It sounds like you have to inform them that there's. Do the people get to run away? Do they sit there and when you wait for the feds? I don't know what happens anyway. So that's a big thing. And then Montana tried to pass a law that says we can't have any of this corporate giving and campaigns. And so they said, well, then I hate to break the news to you, but it's already been decided on a Supreme Court. The Supremes decided that you can't, the corporation can do whatever they want. So don't be trying to go around and say you can't do. Now, here's another. This is maybe the most important thing I have to tell you today. And I don't have an answer. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I'll be honest with you. The FCC, the Supreme Court decided, made an FCC decision, and they said that this fleeting, fleeting swearing, whatever it's called, they said the fleeting profanity, they said is the FCC said, that's no good. So if it's happened, we're going to go and fine you. So what they did was, they nudity and profanity. So what the FCC did was, they went backwards, the Janet Jackson thing, Hill Street Blues. They decided, well, we saw somebody's fanny in Hill Street Blues, and that's no good. So they were going to fine them, NBC or whatever it was. And then what was the other one? Oh, it was three times people have sworn on the air, mostly during the Grammy Awards. And so they were fining these stations and stuff and these networks. And then the Supreme Court said, we're not going to say you can't do that. What we're going to say is, because these are public airways, but we'll get to that. But what you didn't do was you didn't tell people that you had changed the rule. See, it used to be like on a talk show, if you didn't have a tape delay, and you figure that most people would be reasonable to call, and occasionally somebody slipped, you know, no big deal. You know, not the end of the world. You don't bring attention to it. You don't do anything. You just go on with your life. And it happened to us last week. It's okay. It's not a big deal to me. But now the FCC is saying, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we can find the living daylights out of the station, and it would be me too, of course. So now you're saying to yourself, I bet, because I know I am, what am I going to do about phone calls? And I don't know yet. I don't know. If they wouldn't spring for a computer that works, they're not going to spring for a tape delay thing. So I don't know. I know there's somebody that doesn't like me to say I don't know, but this time I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll figure it out. All right, so that's a big thing. But there was one thing in here that was kind of awkward, I thought, the way they put it. Where did I get this? You know, they referred to the stations that the FCC has rule over as being a sliver of, you know, broadcasting these days, of what you can find on the thing. It says the rules apply to only the handful of broadcast stations regulated by the FCC, not to hundreds and hundreds of cable, satellite, and internet stations. Excuse me. There are hundreds and hundreds of FCC monitored and licensed radio and TV stations in the United States. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's lots and lots. So it's not like it's some little slice. They lord over quite a bit of it. You know what you see on TV now. Of course, there's lots of cable channels you can go to and all that. I understand that. But there's still a lot of stuff they lord over. So anyhow, interesting to me. See, that's why. But see, that's not why I said. I again, though, I'm still going to say that in 2004, when Janet Jackson decided to, you know, have her McGuffey come out, that, you know, wardrobe malfunction. This I still am sort of torqued about that one for sure. You know, because here it's a live broadcast. The Super Bowl is a live broadcast, you know, and you're not expecting the person you invite to do the halftime show to be an idiot. That's all I can say. You know, you're just not expecting that. Who would expect it? As long as the person's a human being, they could take off part of their clothing and embarrass you and have you fined and all that. So we have to have non-humans. We have to have animals or something. You know, we have animal acts, whatnot. It'll be fun, the Super Bowl. It'll be something different. All right, so you know the old expression, be careful what you wish for? Egypt's top office goes to an Islamist, and this is kind of fascinating, interesting guy, sort of Mohammed Morsi, who is with the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood, somebody who was in the Muslim Brotherhood now said, well, he's kind of a mope. You know, he's just kind of a good foot soldier. He's not real, you know, doesn't do anything else, although he's highly educated here in the United States. So anyway, so of course the country's wondering what's going to happen now. And so here was the interesting thing that they talked about Israel, and I thought I should tell you what they said about this guy. So they said, and his name is, let me get his name for so you know what. I think they'd have his name first thing. Mohammed Morsi is his name, Mohammed Morsi. So his history makes it clear he will not be comfortable interlocutor for Israel, and Mubarak was. Brotherhood officials have said he will not meet with Israelis, but also will not prevent other officials from doing so. Morsi, who served in the parliament, is said to have never been the ideas man of the Brotherhood. Instead, he served as an implement of policy. So he's an anti-Israeli person, but he said he's going to kind of toe a more... somewhat open line with that, but not himself. So that's now. Be careful what you wish for again. Be careful what you wish for again. So what we did was, because we really wanted to, so when the Soviet Union broke up, we said, okay, how do we prevent Russia from doing it again? Basically, how do we prevent this? And so what we did was we tried to sign up every single nation, the little tiny nations that we could, some of the bigger nations. We started signing up everybody to NATO. The North American Treaty Organization, which doesn't make sense that it's called that anymore. But so we decided, okay, let's see how many people can sign up. And so we tried to sign up everybody in the whole wide world. And as that way, in case they were ever attacked by somebody else, then, the NATO would step in. Well, Turkey got attacked. Turkey shot down a Turkish fighter jet, an F-4, a Phantom. We're not sending them really good stuff, Just to let you know, yeah, Syria has the Chinese selling them, late model MiGs, and we're sending the people F-4 Phantoms. But anyhow, we depend on certainly an air base in Turkey hugely, and so we're going to, and I forget, they're going to increase how much money, which is in the millions and millions of dollars we give them every year. And so now the Syrians said, well, it was an accident, and they said, horse pucky, it wasn't an accident at all, and they can't find the two pilots. So, I don't know where it's going to go from there. They're going to go to NATO and say, NATO, what are we going to do? And now NATO's going to say, I don't know what they're going to say. It's not just up to us anymore. Got lots of other little countries that might say, if we don't take a stand now, we never will. I have no idea what's going to happen. Spooky. Be careful what you wish for. All right. Now, this was... Well, I made a joke because Alex Trebek's okay. He had a mild heart attack, but he did. As a matter of fact, he was in the hospital when he won his Emmy Award. Anyway, but he's doing okay, and they say he's fine. And in case you didn't know this, Alex Trebek owned a horse farm up in Creston, about 720 acres. I remember when he sold it. I didn't know he had it, but I remember when he sold it. All right, now this is kind of good news here, and that's Pixar again at the top with, I say it's as a family kind of guy, even though it's my wife and I, as a family kind of guy, I got the little kids as well, Pixar's The Brave top the box office charts, and then Madagascar 2 was second, so that's kind of cool, family movies being one and two, that doesn't happen all the time, but remember we had a stretch, I think it was last summer, when, we had like three movies in the top 10 that were family movies. And then Abraham Lincoln, The Vampire Hunter, came in third. People went to see that. I don't know why they'd go to see it, but they did. And then they had a thing on the news. They had a guy who won a vampire eradication kit. And it was a special gun and silver bullets and all this weird stuff and a crucifix and all that. It was from, years and years ago. It was from the 1800s or whatever. And so he bid $11,000 for it and won it. So now he's all happy because, everybody's into vampires right now. So obviously, otherwise, how could they get $11,000 for it? You better hope they get more into vampire. You better hope that this movie does really well and more vampire movies are in the offing so they can get more for when he tries to sell it. Because after you fiddle around with something like that for a little while, then aren't you tired of it? How often can you play with a gun and whatnot? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have that kind of money. Prometheus is number 4. Still doing pretty good. Snow White and the Huntsman was number 5. Rock of Ages number 6. Never got off the ground. It's not going to. That's My Boy. 7, The Avengers, number 8, which is still pretty good for The Avengers to be out there, number 8. Men in Black 3 is number 9. at Seeking a Friend for the End of the World with Steve Carell is number 10. Interesting. Steve Carell and Keira Knightley. Who's starring that? So that's interesting what's going on, I think. It's interesting what's going on. There's lots more stuff we're going to get to. Let me get to one of these things, because I got, you know, they always take a while but to queue up and everything, but it doesn't matter because, you know, it's the thought that counts the way I look at it. Okay. And so, oh, this is it here. You know the expression, paddle faster, I hear banjo music? There's a reason. Right? Some people don't like it. Come on, you started. Finish what you start. Weren't you taught that?
Every year, hundreds of thousands of people come to North Georgia thanks in large part to the movie Deliverance.
Essentially started the whitewater rafting industry in the southeast.
Annually, tourism brings in $42 million to the area. When the movie was made, it brought cameras and excitement to Raven County. Many locals signed up to be extras, only to be horrified by what emerged from Hollywood.
I've been squeal like a pig. Oh, which squeal, huh?
The infamous squeal like a pig male rape scene was especially shocking here in the heart of the Bible Belt. 40 years later, there's still anger.
We were portrayed as ignorant, backward, scary, deviant, redneck hillbillies. And that stuck with us through all these years. Yeah. And in fact, that was probably the furthest thing from the truth.
He's right. Raven County is actually a second home to many wealthy Southerners.
This would be a dream come true.
On Lake Burton, the average house costs $2 to $3 million. This one, nearly $10 million.
When people build houses and they come here, they need art on their walls.
The area has dozens of trendy galleries, and rather than toothless sociopaths, more than 80% of the county's residents are high school graduates.
My show starts as
actor Ronnie Cox, who played Drew, is sympathetic to local attitudes about the movie.
There were a lot of people that became a really tough pill to swallow, and I think some people missed Martin. I think they missed the artistic essence of it, the value of it.
And then there's Billy Redden. You remember him. You'd think if anyone would be angry, it'd be Billy. He's not. And he can't understand after 40 years why others still are.
I think they just need to just let it go and let it just be a movie. That's all it is. Just a movie.
Pretty amazing. And I know, Martin, you were saying a weird thing is...
Billy looks a lot better, I gotta tell you. Billy looks better as an adult than he did as a young kid there. He didn't look quite right as a young kid. Anyway, here's the whole thing. It was a novel by James Dickey. And what they do is if you've read the book Deliverance, I mean, it pretty much was right out of the book. I mean, they didn't deviate much from the book at all. And so, in fact, I can't think where they deviated at all. And it was pretty much exactly as the book was, if I remember. So anyway, so that's kind of interesting. But you can see though, somebody comes. You know, we have, to, you know, think how we feel. We had, what's her name? That crazy woman come and do the movie. I Know Who Killed Me. You know, that crazy gal. She came here and you know, just disparaged our town by showing up. You know, Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan was here. She did. I don't know. But then, you know, we've had Arachnophobia was done in Cambria, part of it, and that turned out okay, I think. You know, then there was my personal best, which was Merrill Hemingway, who we learned through that movie that was filmed at Morro Bay High School. We learned through that movie that she wasn't and didn't do again. She didn't ever try it again. She wasn't an actress. And she proved it, and nobody hired her again.
Tom, are you okay? He looks like he's in shock. Tom, can you hear me? What happened?
It happened at Rancho Grande.
Rancho Grande?
Rancho Grande Motors. It was a normal day. I thought this was the perfect time to get a new car, so I started looking. All the other dealerships were filled with these high-pressure sales guys. They kept coming at me in wave after wave after wave.
Tom, it's okay. You're here now.
Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, I went to Rancho Grande Motors. The people there were helpful without trying to put the squeeze on me. They answered every question I had and were totally upfront and honest about every vehicle.
Wait, a car dealer that was upfront and honest?
They said it's because they live here too. They want to be good neighbors and make sure I'm a customer for life. I couldn't believe it. I found the perfect place to buy a pre-owned vehicle, Rancho Grande Motors.
No wonder you're in shock. Where did you say Rancho Grande Motors was?
1404 Auto Park Way. A little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
Can I permanently lose my hearing from exposure to loud noise? Yes. Permanent hearing loss can result from prolonged exposure to loud music over 85 decibels, such as lawnmowers, power tools, blenders, and hair dryers, which are around 90 decibels and are dangerous for longer than 30 minutes. 30 million Americans have hearing loss. One in three develop their hearing loss as a result of exposure to noise. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
626,000 investors.
That's how many people SIPC has helped since 1970.
$15 billion.
That's how much SIPC helped investors to recover.
What is SIPC? The Securities Investor Protection Corporation. An investor's first line of defense in the unlikely event a brokerage firm fails.
SIPC for real people like me.
And me.
And you. Learn more at www.sipc.org.
Another day has come and gone in a world where I don't belong. Another week has passed me by. It's not because I didn't try. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong. Before they notice me. Another job that I just can't get. A nice apartment the landlord just won't rent. I go to bed but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talk. Before they notice me, seems like I got to do wrong. Before they notice me. I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong. Before they notice me. Yes, I do. Before they notice me.
That's the Whispers. Hi, you're Bill Bennett, Talker Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. Your new station. Our phone numbers are... Oh, that's right, I'm not doing phones today. I have to decide what I'm going to do. I have to figure it out. There must be something I can do. All right, so let's do a Calhoun's Cans, because Ann wrote a very timely thing here, and it's about the worst thing that's happened in a long time, I think. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. George Orwell. The shocking thing is this, how easily everyone turned away from the children and their truth They did not matter, but that institutions that the truth threatened did. The Catholic Church, Penn State, the Boy Scouts, the dynamic was the same. Deny, deflect, cover up, turn away, and turn away. And how easily the mind deflected the children's truth into euphemism. They weren't raped. They were inappropriately touched or molested. Their rapists were troubled men who needed to be treated with understanding and compassion or wrapped in the code of silence for the good of the church, for the good of the school. And children were dismissed and turned away. That made things much, much easier. And how quickly silence overtook everyone involved. One didn't discuss just things in public, not in a polite company, not in the press or on TV. And so the shadow world continued, lying adults, truthful children, the safety of an institution placed above the safety of a child's soul. Year after year after year, all the lost children hidden from view, the sins piling to the sky until they couldn't be hidden any longer. When they finally broke free, how easily the adults scattered. I didn't know, I didn't see, we thought it best to keep it quiet. The Catholic Church stonewalled, withheld documents, fought with investigators all the way down the line. They're protecting their institution, and you see, not going to hell-bent for leather to get justice for their raped kids. Penn State initially dismissed and overlooked and feebly did as little as possible until assistant coach Jerry Sandusky's crime couldn't be possibly contained any longer. Yet even then, vast crowds of Penn State students turned out to support their god, Coach Joe Paterno, and was manifest that Joe had clearly guarded his school, not his kids. And now the news that the Boy Scouts have for years covered up their own file cabinet of rape cases. More denial, more lies, more turned away. And to protect a revered institution. And why not? It's clear that in our society, institutions are of value and must be preserved at all costs. When it became clear that the Catholic Church had been involved for years in a conspiracy of protecting child raping priests, was even now actively involved in stonewalling investigations, every Catholic layman and woman should have walked out of the church door and refused to come back until the church hierarchy had a thorough house cleaning. That didn't happen. They stayed in their pews, and a choice between their church and their children, their choice was clear. And at Penn State, Jerry Sandusky is going to prison, but everyone else is happily ensconced in their cushy jobs, and it remains to be seen how far the ongoing investigation of this matter will go. I'm betting it will quietly go away. A few wrist slaps, nothing more. Time to move on. There's another football season to prepare for. And I've yet to hear all the scoutmasters across the nation are holding a national boycott until headquarters moves aggressively to open up those files and assist fully with a police investigation and then be held fully accountable for their years-long cover-up. But that's the way of it in our society. It gives lip service to children while not really caring for them in real time. Compared to other civilized societies, our child welfare numbers are abysmal. Hungry kids, sick kids, poor kids, at-risk kids, the number of cracks that they can fall through are endless because America doesn't much care for the safety nets, not even for kids. The village needed to properly raise a child was ridiculed and blown away years ago. Now they're on their own, like their parents, to sink or swim, so they better just toughen up. And if sexual predators in the form of priests, teachers, coaches, scoutmasters come after them, the institution the priest, the rapists work for is rich and powerful and well-connected, the children's truth will go into a file cabinet for the good of all, you understand? Unless we as a society decide that a child's soul, a child's truth, needs to trump a church steeple or an ivory-covered campus, and so long as euphemisms create a false reality, maybe it's time to stop speaking about molesting, which is such a muddled, soft word, and start calling it what it is, rape. Maybe that way, when a child speaks the truth, we'll know to believe him.
When I first saw her, it was love at first sight. Man, was she gorgeous. I thought I'd found everything I ever dreamed of. But pretty quickly I realized that something was missing. Something just wasn't there. My beautiful, incredible, high-definition television would never be all that I hoped for without Charter HDTV service.
Give your high-def television everything it needs with Charter HDTV. You'll get the most amazing picture available, up to 5 times sharper than regular TV, all in theater-quality widescreen format. Call today to get Charter's superior HD programming, including local channels broadcast in HD. Only Charter makes it this easy to experience all that your HDTV is capable of, with no expensive equipment to buy.
Just one simple hookup, and my HDTV was all that I imagined. It may sound crazy, but I think Charter might be the one.
Complete your HDTV with HD service from Charter. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER today.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computer's first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. Hey, you got a couple more days to take advantage of what's going on at Spencer's right now. And you like shrimp? How about a shrimp cocktail? You can make one at home and just have it. It's fun. Large white shrimp, 16 to 20 count, which makes them pretty big. USA wild caught is $9.99 a pound, $10 a pound for the big shrimps. That's really good. And, you know, because you can, that's a pound of them. That's a lot. You know, you go to a restaurant someplace, $10, $12, $15 for a big old shrimp cocktail. See, I'm telling you, you can save yourself some dough. Well, Alaska sockeye salmon fillets, just $9.99 a pound, too. And then don't forget they have the deli department. It has wonderful things. They got boar's head meats and cheeses, plus lots of other stuff. And they have sandwiches you can buy there. They have creamy macaroni or potato salad. It is on sale for $1.49 a pound. And they have three-bean salad. They have three kinds of potato salad. They have coleslaw. They have jello-y salads. You name it, they got the salads. They got them. And don't forget, they also have hot foods already made for you. And so if you want to pick them up for dinner, or you want to go out and have lunch there. And don't forget also on Mondays that this is the pizza day. And so you get a big pizza for two for $5. And that's a heck of a deal right there. So all these wonderful things are at Spencer's. Don't forget, you can take advantage of your choice for $1.79 a pound. Chicken breasts, country-style pork ribs, beef back ribs, or fresh-cut pork steaks. Spencer's in five locations on the Central Coast. San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, and, of course, in Santa Maria.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
You are. Okay, there's such stuff going on. There's so much stuff going on. Let's see what else I got to tell you about. Swimming's tonight on the Olympic thing. Have you been watching the Olympic trials and stuff? Wow. I can't watch the diving. Can I tell you honestly? Not that I'm worried about the people not hitting the water right. They're well skilled. You know, they're going to do okay. Although, if you knew you were going to lose, you did really crappy, and you knew you were going to lose, and it was your last dive, and you're on that real high thing, you know, I'd do a cannonball just for the joy of it at the very end. You know, splash people and get the judges wet, you know, whatever. Anyhow, but the reason I don't like to watch the diving is these people are really tough on these people. These judges are nuts. I want to say, here, go get a swimsuit on and go see what you can do. Are you serious? That guy does it looks like a perfect dive to the normal human being, and they're like, 7.0. They're like, what? Anyhow, so I don't want to get upset, so sometimes I just don't watch stuff. All right. One of the big things that's going on, of course, hugely in our world is the terrible fires in Colorado that are just consuming home after home after home. And they've in one place, they had to evacuate 11,000 people. And there's another fire that started that's threatening homes. It's like, wow, there's just Colorado's in big trouble. Big trouble. Now, Florida, it looks like this Hurricane Debbie's going to hit Florida. Hurricane Debbie's sort of stalled in the Gulf of Mexico, so they're kind of like, no matter how much equipment they have, satellites, the planes that fly through and everything, no matter how much of those things they have, it doesn't matter because they have no way of really knowing which way the hurricane's going to go because hurricanes are like that. You know, they're fickle, and they do their own thing, as they say. So they're just standing by, waiting to see where it's going to go. They think they have probability numbers to come up. Seriously. You know, it's like rolling dice, basically, is how the probability numbers work. And so they rolled the dice, and they said that it looks like the greatest chance is that it's going to go east and hit Florida. But that's not necessarily so. It could go north, hit Alabama, go sort of through the northwest, and hit Louisiana. They're not sure. They don't know. But they admit they don't know. Which is something new, I think, for the weather people. A big water spout out there. Looks like a tornado. Quite a mess down there. Anyway, and the rain. They're getting rain. Like, you can't understand the numbers, the amount of rain they've had. I forget what they were expecting today. What were they expecting, my wife told me? Something insane. I mean, it was in multiple numbers. Like, not 9 inches, but like 10, 11, 12 inches of rain. Something like that. Like, holy cow. All right. Now, this is because this, you know, we got hit so badly, and I wish I could remember the guy's name, Little Wart, but I can't. Anyway, this guy that went around with his lawyer in his wheelchair and sued everybody in the Central Coast and put people out of business and everything else. So what the Democrats are going to revive a GOP campaign to curb Disability Act lawsuits in California. So what they're basically saying is you can't – what they hope is going to happen is – and if the Democrats are going to sign on to this, although I'm not sure all of them are – you know, if they're going to say, okay, you can't just walk in and sue somebody. You have to give them notice to fix something. And then, but now one person's in a wheelchair they interviewed said, well, we do give them notice to fix things. And I tell people, you know, you're supposed to fix that, and they don't. So they, you know, but I think if they were told by an authority person, you know, I mean, I understand that it's kind of pathetic when somebody in a wheelchair says, you know, you're not compliant with the American with Disabilities Act because I can't get to that location, whatever it is. Okay, well, I would think they'd pay a little attention, but let's say they don't. But you get somebody in there with a badge or some big old emblem, you know, symbol, what do you call it, badge. You get them in there and say, hey, either fix this or you're in trouble. I think a lot of people would be turning and burning trying to fix that thing. Because right now, what's Paso Robles. Now, see, the thing in Paso Robles, I'm not going to say anything against it. I'm not going to say anything against it. Because the angle of the ramps can only be so steep, otherwise people in wheelchairs just can't handle it. You know, you think that, well, it's not hard, you just push the wheels, but you know, when you get something that's just a little bit too steep. So Paso put in the wheelchair things like they're supposed to. It turns out they weren't quite at the right angle of the dangle. How that happened, I don't know. That no one's answered that question. But anyway, I don't think anybody's asked the question. How did you get it wrong the first time, or did they change it? Which they might have. I don't have the answer to that. That's what's going on. All right, other things going on. Other things that are happening. Other things that are going on. This is it's a neat story. A man's stolen car takes a long road home. This guy's car was stolen 40 years ago. And he kept every now and then he'd look on eBay and he'd look on different places and see if somebody's trying to sell it. And sure enough, he dialed and he thought, I'll never find it again. It's just impossible. But anyway, he during his May 11th search, he could not believe it when he saw his car listed for auction. He said he knew that it was his because he had memorized the vehicle identification number. So anyway, it was through a dealer of some kind where it ended up. And so they did some kind of thing with the lawyers and all that. But anyway, so he's going to get it back. And his wife said this, our first date was in that car. Said Cynthia Russell, the wife. I liked him. He was cute, but I loved the car. Should we sleep in the car instead of with him? Okay. Well, what are you going to do? Let's see what else I got up here. I got stuff. Well, here's a, let's do a fun one. Because, you know, a lot of times people say, Bill, you just say it's all serious and nasty and everything. You know, it's not fun. So this one, though, it's not going to happen right away, of course, because, you know, it never does. But when we finally get to it, we're going to be able to click on there and watch the little thing go around. And this is Pennywise and Pound Foolish here. Okay, so it starts itself, then it stops. Well, I don't know. And then it'll start. There it comes.
Tables full of pennies. The spare change party on the city's west side is about celebrating the lifelong successes of two women. The first, 40-year-old Faith Hammock.
We feel like Faith is a genius and she's just a miracle child.
Faith was born with water on her brain. Doctors didn't think she would live long, and even when she did survive, experts doubted her ability to walk, talk, or maintain any quality of life. But 15 years ago, Faith had other goals in mind.
If you want to do something, like, you better start now.
In 1997, Faith began saving one penny at a time for her then 3-year-old goddaughter's college education. Some of it came in from gutters and seat cushions, and more poured in from donations.
Faith even have us picking up pennies off the street. If we see pennies on the street, you got to pick them up.
And this is what only a fraction of that collection has amounted to today. And here is the recipient, Faith's goddaughter, Kyla Gilbert, who is now 18 years old. As an honors high school graduate, Kyla will be attending Indiana University in the fall, hoping to one day become a nurse.
all this hard work that they've put into me, I had to put it into something else and show them that I'm a good student, and they're investing in me, and they're investing in something good.
And happy to give her goddaughter an almost two-decade-old penny collection worth one big $5,000 check and some change.
She's kept me going for years and years and years, and I just don't know what I would do without her. Like, I'm so happy to have her, and I wouldn't want no other godmother ever.
There you go. Kind of a brush up on her English there before she goes to school. But here's the thing. So that was kind of a fun story. Although, it's, can I say this? Because I saw this the other day where somebody, I forget who it was. It's not, it doesn't matter. But they were going to get $5,000 scholarships. And I thought to myself, let's see, that's a quarter of the tuition someplace for a year.
So, okay.
That's something. And this was a big effort because the lady saved the pennies, which is pretty cool. Now, there's places that won't take pennies, you know. They won't do that. There's bank. If you said, if you go to the city of San Luis Obispo and you owe back taxes or something, you come with pennies, they don't have to take them. I don't know what law that is, but somebody came up with a law that said they don't have to take pennies. Because people like to be, you know, they get torqued off and they think they're making a point. It's like when that, you know, the people that just got sentenced here that went to Vandenberg, there was like three women, I think it was, and they went outside the gates of Vandenberg. I guess they walked onto the property of Vandenberg. That's what got them arrested. And they were protesting war or its own self or whatever. And so they were arrested for trespassing. And so my question is when, you know, you do that, maybe it gives you personal satisfaction that you went out and did that. I don't know. I've never talked to anybody that ever did something like that, just sort of in a small group. You know, when Diablo was being, I mean, Diablo, there was huge, hundreds of people. So you understood that people really weren't that big on Diablo. But, you know, when you just have three people that are standing there with a little sign that says, war sucks, you know, I don't know if they really think it's going to matter. You know, it's like the letter of the editor day. Let me get to this letter today. Bless her heart. God, love her. Jean from Cambria wrote this. I think drone weapons make the remaining victims not only hate but despise America and Americans. The sneak attack method is even less honorable than other weapons, not that any weapons are honorable. But as for me, I want drones stopped. In fact, I want war to be entirely put aside in favor of strenuous peacemaking methods of conciliation and understanding. The world, including this country, is literally sick of violence. I agree with you, Gene. Them first, though. It has to be them first. You know, they have to do it first. Otherwise, you can't do it. It's not going to work. They have to go first. Sorry. Other people in the news. There was a nice article today by Judy Salamacci about Jack Elaine's widow. And she does good things, which is cool. Federal principals in San Luis Coastal. They're going to be two elementary school districts and also one out at Pacific Beach High. And they are Jennifer Danielli, I hope I'm saying that right, Chris Dowler, and Jeff Martin. I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not, but, you know, I was hoping I'd say it right. Probably not. You can't. It's just too hard. You know that guy, where do you see that guy's name that's up against Michael Phelps? I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he'll be on tonight. And so they're like the 1-2 guys, and see how his name is pronounced and how it's spelled. And I can tell you, if he was in boot camp, oh, it'd be merciless. He'd have the drill instructor would just, oh, help. He'd get a nickname really fast and not one that he wanted. I can promise you. All right, no evidence of White House cover-up. This is the Fast and Furious gun trafficking thing. Do you know how long they've been investigating this thing? It just sometimes makes you stop and say, what are you doing? I mean, you know, what do you hope to end up doing out of this? And it's been 18 months long that they've been investigating Eric Holder and all this other people. And Darrell Issa said, you know, he's the one for the people that were investigating whether people higher up were hiding something. You know, he says, no, we don't know. How do you know? If somebody's hiding something, how do you know? If they're hiding it well, how could you possibly know? You couldn't. You couldn't. It's when people hide things badly, like Dick Nixon, that you find things out. That's it right there in a nutshell. All right. Mexico has a front runner, Enrique Peña Nieto. Nieto? N-I-E-T-O. How did I say that? I don't say it yet. All right. So there you go. So we'll see what happens with him. See if Mexico changes at all. I won't. You remember the 67-year-old guy from Sacramento whose boat got hit by a whale? Well, he came home just in time to celebrate his 23rd anniversary. Pretty cool. So his wife and he are going to go out and have beluga sushi in honor of the day. Tim Belai says he has told Mitt Romney's presidential campaign to look elsewhere for a running mate. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. Now, here's the interesting thing. Did they talk to him, and then or did he just notify them and say, in case you were thinking about me, don't think about me? In which case, I'd certainly say, don't worry, we weren't. What else could you say to the guy? Okay. A national civil rights group said Sunday it would appeal a federal judge's decision to uphold an Indiana law that bans registered sex offenders from accessing Facebook. And so this is brings back Ann Calhoun's canons today, about protecting the children, about caring about the children. I realize it's America, the Constitution, all that stuff, but these people are, in fact, registered sex offenders. They've committed a crime that's made them put themselves in that status. And therefore, to say that, you have the right to try to contact children on the Internet through Facebook is ludicrous. Thank you. It's ludicrous. I don't think their right trumps the danger to a child. Sorry. I don't. This was written so badly, I have to tell you something. This immigration bill gains ground in Sacramento. I'd read it to you, but I'll tell you what it says, but I can't figure out what it says. It doesn't make any sense. The first paragraph doesn't go with the second, which doesn't go with the third. The fourth one doesn't go with the first. So it's kind of like I couldn't tell when I was done reading this thing after five times I read it. What is it exactly we're doing here? And I don't know. So here's this immigration bill gains ground. I don't know what it says. I don't even know what it does. I have a clue. I think, because it's written really weird, I think that it basically echoes the kind of a bill that, the kind of a circumstance that the president has invoked now with immigration. I believe that's what it's about, but don't hold me to it. It was written really weird. All right, here's another thing, too. Human nature, right there, is it just for humans? And here's the question right here. I love this question here. This is about monkeys and chimpanzees and apes and orangutans and how well they can think. They show empathy. They make war and peace. They share. It's not a question of whether they think. It's how they think, said Duke University scientist Brian Hare. Now scientists wonder whether apes are capable of thinking about what other apes are thinking. Why don't we go to the next step? We go to the ape inception, where the apes can dream what the other ape is dreaming, and then enter the dream. This is really weird. We're just over 1% different than a chimpanzee. We are. You and I are. So, and you may be closer. I don't know. You could be closer. I could be closer. I can't tell. But here's the thing. 1%, that's not much. That's not very much. So I don't know why they're so surprised at what they're finding out. They're finding out. But here's what's going to – now here's where the moral issue is going to come, because the apes could all get together, all the apes that were used for biological and medical experiments and everything, they could all get together and file a class action lawsuit because they're smart enough to do it, apparently. So that's it. But they had interesting things they did, If they gave them a tool that would help them get to a prize, a food prize, they gave them a tool, and then the first thing they would do is they'd take the monkeys out of the area and for a couple of days, and then they put them back in and they give them the tool again. Well, in very short order, the monkeys realized, take the tool with you so you have it when you come back. Okay? So as soon as you hit the cage again, you can just go over and get the stuff. When they put stones, they have stones for warfare, they collect stones, and they put them under piles of leaves and straw and stuff so they're hidden from others. It's quite interesting. And this other one, here's what they say of this thing. In French research, at least two baboons kept memorizing so many pictures, several thousand, that after 3 years, researchers ran out of time before the baboons reached their limit. They ran out of money is what they ran out of, because people said, it's cute that the baboons can remember all this stuff. Really, it is cute, but it's a lot of money for 3 years. You've been spending money, and what are you going to do now? We don't know what you're going to do with it. Unless you could teach a chimp to play chess. Then you have something right there. And apparently you could. So just you have to be patient, I guess. You have to be patient like bananas. Something like that. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not going to get to this letter till next hour because I'm deciding if I want to say something or not. You ever, you know, when you have these thoughts, you're doing a talk show, you say to yourself, do I want to venture into that water or don't I? You know, because people could really, a certain group of people could really take offense at something I'm thinking about. I know this sounds weird to sort of tease you with that, but I'm just telling you. And it's one of those things like, you know, the telephone today, I don't really know what I want to do with it. I think it's a valid issue. But I'm just not sure if I want to voice it or not. I probably will because, you know, what the heck, they can't eat me. Well, that's not true. That guy ate that other guy's face, for God's sake. I'm not using that expression anymore. All right, the heck with that. All right, let's get to CBS News, shall we, on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. It's 1 o'clock, and you're with Bill Beck, and talk is cheap.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Most of Arizona's immigration law was struck down today, but the show me your papers part at the core was upheld. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The court did uphold one of the four disputed Arizona provisions, at least for now. Justice Kennedy wrote that officers may conduct status checks of suspected unlawful immigrants only in certain circumstances and subject to further judicial review.
As it is enforced, depending how it's done, the law may face additional challenges.
I'm Bob Fuss in Washington. The Supreme Court says states can no longer require life sentences without parole for children who commit murder. The 5-4 decision follows earlier court rulings eliminating the death penalty for juveniles and life without parole for crimes other than murder. The holding that locking children away with no hope of getting out is cruel and unusual punishment came in the cases of two 14-year-olds convicted of murder.
The much-anticipated Supreme Court ruling on the constitutionality of the president's signature legislation, health care overhaul, is expected on Thursday. The tropical storm, it doesn't move, like Debbie. It just crawls along, dumping tons and tons of water, can create enormous damage, and that's happening in Florida. And the storm's still 75 miles out.
It's not a hurricane, but in some ways, Debbie could be just as bad.
We're going to receive a significant amount of rain in a large part of the state, 10 to 20 inches of rain overall. We're going to have flooding, potential tornadoes.
Florida Governor Rick Scott says that's why he's declared a state of emergency. Debbie has drenched much of the state since late last week.
Pretty gray, and it's coming down pretty severely.
That's Keith Blackmar with the Wakulla County Sheriff's Office in Florida's Panhandle.
37 trees down, 27 power lines down.
It's the same story in dozens of towns across Florida. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The drumbeats of economic troubles in Europe are getting louder. Spain made it official today. It's asking for a bailout from the EU. Spain's not alone.
Cyprus has become the fifth Eurozone country to ask for a financial bailout. And Greece's new finance minister has quit because of health problems after just days on the job. So things are going from bad to worse in Europe, and we're starting to see how that is affecting U.S. companies.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus on Wall Street. The markets were down. The Dow lost 137 points. NASDAQ fell 56. S&P down 21. And oil just over $79 a barrel. A second general has defected from Syria to Turkey.
The State Department has been following reports of more defectors from the Syrian military.
This appears to be an increasing pace of these kinds of military folks voting with their feet, voting with their airplanes.
Spokeswoman Victoria Nuland, the rebel Free Syrian Army is made up largely of defectors. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
A landslide in the coffee-growing slopes on the border of Kenya has killed at least 18 people. Up to 100 may be buried. Local media reports hundreds may be missing. Red Cross says devastation still being assessed. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.75%. APR 3.98%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.75%, APR 3.98%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com and find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Russia's president's making a one-day visit to Israel, with topic number one being Iran and its nuclear aspirations.
An honor guard welcomed Russian President Vladimir Putin to Israel, where he met with Israeli leaders. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu urged Putin to back tougher sanctions on Iran, something Russia has been reluctant to do. Netanyahu warned that a nuclear Iran is a threat not only to Israel, but to the entire world. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
A new book, Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan, claims the military wanted President Obama to send 40,000 troops to Afghanistan in 2009, and he considered it. But the White House ultimately decided to stick to the withdrawal plan. The book claims President Obama purposely did not read the CIA assessment that said 30,000 wouldn't be enough. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts, sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
David Benoit with Billy Benica.
Hi, thanks for joining me today. This is 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo, your Bill, and Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network. Thanks for joining me today. It's Monday. Monday. Monday's happening today. All right, let's we got to do a joke. Really, I think I saw this joke a long, long time ago, and it's a real one of those real moaners, but we're going to do it anyway because it's fun. That's why on a Monday you need fun. Tired of constantly being broken, stuck in an unhappy marriage, a young husband decided to solve both problems by taking out a large insurance policy on his wife and with himself as the beneficiary and then arranging to have her killed. A friend of a friend put him in touch with a nefarious dark side underworld figure who went by the name of Artie. Artie explained to the husband that his going price for snuffing out a spouse was $10,000. The husband said he was willing to pay that amount, but he wouldn't have any cash on hand until he could collect his wife's insurance money. Artie insisted on being paid at least something up front, so the man opened his wallet displaying a single dollar coin that rested there. Artie sighed, rolled his eyes, and reluctantly agreed to accept the dollar as down payment for the dirty deed. A few days later, Artie followed the man's wife to the local Spencer's supermarket. There he surprised her in the produce department and proceeded to strangle her with his gloved hands. As the poor, unsuspecting woman drew her last breath and slumped to the floor, the manager of the produce department stumbled unexpectedly onto the murder scene. Unwilling to leave any living witnesses behind, old Artie had no choice but to strangle the produce manager as well. However, unknown to Artie, the entire proceedings, of course, were captured by the hidden security cameras and observed by the security guards later on, who immediately called police. Artie was caught and arrested before he could even leave the premises. Under intense questioning at the police station, Artie revealed the whole sordid plan, including his usual financial arrangements with a hapless husband who was also quickly arrested. The next day in the newspaper, the headline declared, "Artie chokes two for a dollar at Spencer's."
Hey, Pops, what's with all this talk about the Drake?
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
Hearing matters, biz. All right, you're Bill Banker, Talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me. Here's what's going on in our world. You know what we did in Honduras? And now we're going to give more money to Honduras. How much did they say? More. Anyway, we give a lot of money to Honduras now, but we're going to give more money to them. Anyway, here's the deal right here. The DEA agent kills a man in Honduras. They were doing a drug bust, and the DEA agent, somebody shot at somebody, did something, anyway, they had to shoot the guy. So anyway, he was a bad guy, so I guess it's going to be okay. The Hondurans weren't concerned. They might not be concerned anyway, though, that's the kind of thing right there. Here's a picture of the Chinese astronauts doing their own. They're going to do their own space station. You could imagine they were going to just do their own, huh? Kathleen Parker today writes for the Atlanta Sentinel. She wrote, "Ann Romney horse nonsense." Anyway, so Ann Romney is a part owner of a Olympic horse, and so and they do dressage, which is something that you would have to really truly love horses to understand. In my opinion, if you ever seen a horse prance, if I was a horse and I was made to prance, I would immediately throw the rider onto the ground and stomp him to death with my hooves. But anyway. being that as it may, this horse isn't smart enough to do that. So anyway, so it has to prance, it has to canter and prance and do all that stuff that they do. Anyhow, so people are all over her about that. She's rich. Yeah, the rich people have horses. They do that kind of stuff. That's what she's saying. She says, that's how they are. She started with a Seinfeld thing. She started by saying, here's Jerry Seinfeld. I hated those kids who had ponies. In fact, I hate everyone that had a pony when they were growing up. Because why is that funny? She says, because we all know that for the most part, the kids who had ponies were the rich kids. Can I tell you, New Jersey, I never knew anybody had a pony. There wasn't anybody that had a pony where I was from. We had people that had money. No ponies, though. You know, no ponies, respectable ponies going to live in New Jersey. So that's why I think. All right, now I'm getting to the point. I might have to see if I want to tread the water here. One more thing, though, and one of the things, the news that I find kind of interesting is they say that juveniles that commit murder, they can't be sent away for life without parole. There has to be some possibility of parole, or it's a cruel and unusual punishment. Of course, the juvenile that kills someone takes away life in the pursuit of happiness, and that's 2 out of 3, and that's pretty bad. But anyhow, that's what they say. All right, who's ever calling? I'm not answering. And I know somebody that's going to want to call when I tread this water here. All right, here we go. We're going to do it. I'm just going to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. All right, here we go. Paula wrote this letter from Paso Robles. She said, in response to Joe Larena's June 18th letter, no special treatment, what counterpart is there in the private sector that compares to police and firemen? I knew somebody was going to write this letter because, see, that's not like anything else in the private sector. There's nothing in the public sector that's like it in the private sector. Okay. There's nothing in the private sector like in the public sector. Would Mr. Larena risk his life every day for minimum wage? Minimum wage? Can I remind Paula? The police in San Luis Obispo started at $100,000. What minimum wage? Okay. How safe would he feel if he called the police and a McDonald's burger flipper responded? If he had a gun, fine. Our police and firemen are underpaid and overworked, always in unsafe, dangerous conditions. Until you've walked in their shoes and lived their lives, shut up about what they're paid. It's never enough. Wow. Now, it got me to thinking about something, though. And I tried to put scientific, you know, I try to use fact here and instead of just, you know, doing the old romantic thing about how everybody's in danger when they're a fireman or a policeman. Policemen, because there's 1 bazillion guns and there's 10 bazillion crazy people in the world, they're always in danger. There's no time when they can possibly know that if somebody's going to be firing at them. So that's where that is to me. And I don't know why they do that job anyway. But anyway, here's the thing. So then, and then everybody that gets into it, you know, they always want to, you always hear them when they're kind of rookies and everything. I wanted to help people. I want to help you. And I find out the people that they're trying to help, and they go, oh, help me. Anyway, let's move on to the fire department. Okay, now, this is for San Luis Obispo. I'm going to say this. I don't think, this is me, I'm going to tell you why I think this, okay? I don't really think that firemen put themselves at great risk every day in the fire department. They don't have a fire every day. So the only days that they're really at risk is the days that they go to fight a fire. Now, when they go to fight a fire in San Luis Obispo, what's the tallest building we have? So we have a 3-story parking garage. We have a, how tall is the Anderson Hotel? 4 stories? 4 stories, I think. Okay. Those are the tallest buildings we have. Now, when these buildings are retrofitted, do they not have to put sprinklers in? See, the reason firemen are usually killed is they're like on a roof and there's a collapse. Things like that's what happens to firemen, you know, things like that, or maybe a big flare-up or something, you know. But mostly what we have in San Luis is one-story structures. The majority of every house and everything we have in San Luis Obispo is one-story structures. So, and the new ones all have sprinklers, for sure. And the old ones, there's no reason to go in until the fire's out. You don't have to go in until the fire's out. So the question really has to be asked here, and not that I'll say it. You know, how much danger is there in that? You know, that's all I'm asking. But I would say, you know, it's obviously a lot more dangerous being a private in the Army than it would be to be a fireman right now. Of course, I was absolutely stunned to find out what the military's paid now. If you take an E4, that's you have a recruit, then you have the next level, then the next level is an E4. They're paid $20,000. If they live off base, if they're married and live off base, $32,000 a year. God, that's so great, I tell you. I was paid $180 or something. Okay. Come along. So, which is, explains to you why, even though we have the kind of wars we're having now that nobody cares about except the guys fighting them, even though we're having those wars, it's interesting that people are still joining the service, and I'm finding out why. Plus, there's special pay you get if you go overseas and all this stuff. Anyhow, somebody's on the phone right now to try to chew me out about the fire department thing. And I want to say this. I'm not answering the phone today because I have to decide about my phone. I have to decide what I'm going to do about answering the phone because the FCC has decided that if you even have one person slip up on the air, when you're on the air, they can find the station, they can find you, they can. The whole thing's really ugly. And they don't do small fines, by the way, the FCC. They don't. You know, the typical fine the FCC imposes is somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. And if you get a $10,000 fine, you are going to be in, you're going to have like a suspended license. And if you don't shape up, your license is going to go away. And you know what you can get fined $10,000 for? If one person at the radio station sort of fudges on something that the FCC has, did you do this? Nah, yeah, I did that. Yeah, did you do that? Well, you were supposed to do this. Did you do that? Yeah, I did that. And if it turns out they didn't, the station's going to get a $10,000 fine and suspended license. It's called being less than candid. It's not called lying. They don't go into that kind of thing. They'll call it lying. Being less than candid. So you have to know when you have a program director at a radio station, the greatest fear in the whole world, his entire existence depends on him making sure that he tells everybody, if you do something wrong, you're not going to get fired. Just tell me what it is you did wrong so that I can write it down and know. So if they ask me, I can say, well, yes, this happened. Because if you say, yes, this happened, and it happened inadvertently, they'll leave you alone. They'll say, well, don't let it happen again. You go, okay, well, because you don't want it to happen again anyway. But anyway, see what I'm saying? They're tough to deal with, that FCC thing. That's why this thing, this article that it had about the, you know, the swearing and the fannies hanging out and all that kind of stuff, it was interesting. We walk a fine line here. We really do. And when radio station has their license renewal, you know, they have to announce the fact that their station is up for renewal. And if the public wants to write in, because they got to put in a file. If they want to write something and say the station sucks and here's why. You know, they can do so, or they can send it right to the FCC. Say, we either love this state, we hate it, here's what's wrong, you know, whatever. But it can't have to do with programming. You have to understand, it has nothing to do with programming. They don't care. They don't care what you do on the air. They don't care if you play Chinese gong music for, you know, 24 hours a day. They don't care. All they care about is their rules. And how would you know what their rules are? You wouldn't. Took me years to learn them all. But I learned them all. All right, let's move on here. Let's move on. All kinds of sports stuff. I told you the Angels beat the Dodgers. The Giants lost to the catcher of the Oakland by it was his first home run. Derek Norris hit his first homer of the season. That's kind of fun. A three-run shot at the bottom of the ninth. It was a walk-off homer. There they are. I hit the homer. I'm walking off. Goodbye. All right, things going on in the world. The Olympic stuff is really fun, too. I can't tell you what the station is. It's on NBC, but it's also on, they have other trials that are on one of these stations, like, it's a charter station, like 166 or 168 or something. I don't know what, I can't tell you for sure what the number is, but you can, if you have charter, and you have, you know, you have that extra stuff, you can scroll through and find out, you know, where it is. I'll see if I can remember and tell you tomorrow. Matter of fact, I can't remember the name. I can't even tell you what the station was. I hadn't heard of it before. I hadn't watched it before. I hadn't heard of it. It wasn't ESPN or anything like that either. You know, that's what you'd think. Well, maybe it's ESPN. But no. It's way past that. It's way up the dial from ESPN. Anything's going on in our world. Okay. Other things. Oh, here was another one of these things that made me wonder this weekend. I couldn't help it. I'm sitting there scratching my head. I'm asking, I'm grilling my wife, you know, a poor woman. I said, how could you lived here your whole life? How many years is that? Well, don't tell me. Okay, you lived here your whole life. You lived here. Let me ask you this question. So here's the question I asked her. Coal Canyon Landfill expansion, they want to expand, and there's people that are, you know, live near Coal Canyon Landfill that don't want them to. They don't want to, they want them to shut down their contracts up. So they, and listen to this. Do you know how many conditions they have to meet in order to expand the landfill? 119 conditions. If I was Coal Canyon, I hate to be this way, but I know this is the kind of guy I am. If I operated Coal Canyon, I'd shut the thing down for about 2 weeks. I wouldn't tell anybody it was only going to be for 2 weeks. I put a sign, the gates is closed. And the garbage trucks would pull up, you know, and they want to, what would they do? It wouldn't happen. So one person had the idea that didn't like the idea of the landfill expanding. One person had the idea that they should take it over to the valley. Your trash bill this month was $4,000. Oh, I understand the gas and everything. Okay, that won't work. So here was my question. It's like the people that move near the airport. Remember I told you that even though they changed the flight path, you know. But here's the deal. The people that move near the airport, the airport's already there. I asked my wife, who's been here quite a few years. Not too many. How do I say this? Anyway, a while. She's been here quite some time. You know, in dog years even. So she said that was the dump we were using when I was a kid. So I'm not sure how long it's been there. So my next question is, how long was it there compared to the? And you can see a couple of houses that are near it. I don't know, there may be more. I would imagine that. Well, okay, some of them are, you know, they built some new houses along Price Canyon. Now this is one of those examples where, well, to heck with you. You know, the dump was there, and you decide to build a mansion along Price Canyon. Guess what? What did you think was going to happen? Anyway, that's kind of how I look at the dump. We really need it. Yeah, we really do need it. Yeah. We really, really need it. Okay, other things are going on. We mentioned the horses with what's-her-face. And harsh weather conditions can wreak havoc on horses. This is John Lindsay's Weather Watch. Because the temperatures go ranging all over the place, and, you know, the... It's crazy, rainfall, snow. So he says a horse in the wild lives about 15 to 20 years, whereas those that are, you know, rode around and made to prance live 30 years old or longer. But they're made to prance, and there's no dignity in that whatsoever. There's just none. None. Even the Lippers honors, you know what I mean? They do all that fancy-dancy stuff, you know. They do everything. I still think some of it's not right. That's just me, though. All right, other things going on. I had an article about Robin Ventura in Sunday's paper, which was interesting. Now, can I ask a question? Are you feeling this at all? What are you, serious? Give me a break. They're going to make a decision. The Supremes are going to make a decision on Thursday about what's going to happen with the health care bill, health care reform, and the ruling. And so here's the difference. Politicians, insurance companies, state and federal bureaucrats have contingencies. And so they say tension builds as nation awaits health care ruling. The nation isn't awaiting the health care ruling. The nation's just going the way it always did. You know, okay, what's going on today? It's Monday. You know, now. The people they mention, the politicians, insurance companies, and federal bureaucrats and all that, they may be watching with bated breath, but the rest of us are just living our lives, you know, and going, okay, whatever. I will say this to you. I don't know that you can be made to have health insurance. I don't mean you can be made to pay for health insurance. I think that's going to be the sticking point, or if they're going to throw something out, it'll be that, I think. That's my guess. I mean, it's a guess because with the Supreme Court, you have no idea. But we really need something. I don't know if it's maybe not that. Maybe it's something new. I don't care what it is. I don't care if we're Republicans. You come up with something. But we have to have something that people who can't and so many people cannot afford health insurance now. So many people are underinsured or uninsured. And if you're wealthy, you're not. You're insured. You're fine. But look at all the other people in the world, and the country rather. And so if you have, for them to pay for health insurance is almost impossible. But let's say they do. Even when they pay for health insurance, you know, you have to have a $20,000 deductible, which they don't have in case of medical emergencies. And there's nothing more shameful in this country to me than taking away older people's money. All their money, taking away their entire life's work because of a medical bill. I don't get it. That's like, and how anybody could sit and go, well, that's fair, though, you know. No, it's not. It's not. What's right about that? That's absurd to me. Just completely absurd. It's immoral to me. It really is. To say, well, we're going to let our senior citizens just lose everything they've ever had, including their homes, because they have a medical bill, a hospital bill. Let me up. Makes no sense to me. It's like Ann's thing with the kids. What do you just turn around and ignore it? You just ignore it, I guess. You know. So that's what happens. That's what happens when you have no money. You're screwed. And these are people that actually have retirements and have Social Security and some of these things. But these bills are so stupendous, so completely enormous, that, you know, if there's no... And that doesn't have to be for a big thing, you know what I mean? It's not like it's brain surgery or something, you know? Hospital stays are hugely expensive. Speaking of which, General Hospital wins a big at the awards show, the 39th Daytime Emmys. I just threw that in because I happened to see that after I mentioned the hospital. All right, that's like... I'm not into all that stuff anyway. Okay, here's something different. Are you ready? In Flint, Michigan, with 18 full-time enforcers, Michigan County is going door-to-door to find dogs that don't have licenses. They're actually going door-to-door. Say, let me see your dog. Let me see the license. Let me see your license for your dog. See, cities are hurting. Cities are hurting for money. I'd have to say right here that Flint, Michigan, probably, you know, like Flint, Michigan, look what's happening in Flint, Michigan. They're really hurting for money. Stockton, I had an article about yesterday in the paper because, you know, they have fewer cops. The cops, they've cut their pay 25%. And so a lot of cops are saying goodbye, and they're cutting back cops. So they say just a lot of gang killings and all kinds of terrible things are going on in Stockton. These are tough times. These are tough times. I don't know why they call this a the worst recession since the Great Depression. How about the second worst depression? Wouldn't that make sense in that we're in? The second worst depression we've ever seen. See, to me, that's where we're at. Okay. Now, we mentioned this briefly on the air last week, but we got to tell you what this is right here. Okay. Whiff of romance. So here's the new dating thing. What did they call it? Speed dating? Remember we had the two girls were in here. They were doing speed dating, which is a big thing in the big cities, you know, where you go from one table to another table and talk to each other and talk to people, and then all of a sudden you maybe get a date. I don't know how it works. Anyway, now they're having a new thing where the person goes to bed, they put a T-shirt on, they sleep in the T-shirt, and then they turn it in. Well, then they put a number on it, and that's the person's number, and then the prospective daters sniff the T-shirts to see what they like. I think the dateys do, too, if I'm not mistaken. So they get to sniff the T-shirt. God. I know. If you get the date, you win by a nose.
No, Lenny, no.
Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive. And he saw the ball in the air and was going to try to catch it. But a 5-pound dog shouldn't try for a homer into the bleachers. At Morin Brothers, we try to knock it into the bleachers every time you bring your car in for service. That's right, Lenny. Whether it's a simple oil change, a complete service, or one of our fantastic detail services, at Morin Brothers, we knock it out of the park every time.
Don't let someone throw you a curveball when choosing who to see for hearing help. There are plenty of dispensers and strange devices out there. Dr. Karen Scott, Doctor of Audiology, has the years of experience, education, and can help you with the best decisions for you, your children, grandpa and grandma, and all those betwixt and between. With Dr. Karen's lineup of professionals, your experience with them will be a bases loaded out of the park home run. Dr. Karen Scott, the LA Dodgers, and KYNS. What a fantastic lineup. Dr. Karen Scott's office is in the 3-story glass Walther building next to the DMV on South Higuera. Come in soon.
Choose the perfect hotel without bidding at Priceline.
What happened when you went from being an atheist to, okay, this is more than just an interesting, intelligent discussion, but now I'm willing to embrace that religion might be for me?
It was kind of the same thing with any scientific theory, almost, that it had more explanatory power to explain something I was really sure of. I'm really sure that morality is objective, human independent, something we uncover like archaeologists, not something we build like architects. And I was having trouble explaining that in my own philosophy. And Christianity offered an explanation which I came to find compelling, especially because it had done other things that were good predictions or good moral teachings that surprised me, but then I came around to.
So what has this transformation been like for you? To go from being an atheist, self-described atheist, to now a practicing Catholic?
Well, you know, it's nice to find a community here in D.C. I've scandalized some of my friends. Some of my friends think, you know, I'm wrong now, but I'm less wrong than I was because I thought my old position was less intellectually defensible. So this is in some ways an improvement. It's exciting to be able to participate in the Mass and thinking that it's actually, the Eucharist.
So some of these friends, have they also been non-believers?
Yeah, I had kind of had a mix of Christians and atheists, both telling me that the things I thought made more sense in a Christian framework than they did in an atheist one. So I got double teamed on that.
How has Christianity, embracing it, becoming a Catholic, changed your life? And then speaking publicly about this personal journey?
I think one thing that's kind of changed in my life for this is that it's easier for me to reach out to other people because what I want is their good, their moral development, their becoming what they ought to be in a way that before, when I thought of morality mainly as a set of rules for me, where it's my job to do good things, but it doesn't matter what the people I'm doing them for are like or how they live. All that matters is my own action, was a lot more closed off.
That's weird. Apparently this lady's a well-known blogger. She was an atheist blogger, and she all of a sudden converted to Catholicism. But what she just said at the end was the exact opposite of what she should have said, I think. You know, in Christianity, the idea is that you give and do with whomever asks of you, and you turn none away. Love the sinner, hate the sin type of thing. I thought it'd be more interesting than that. Obviously. I took a shot at it. Okay, what are you going to do? Hey, this is a fun story in the news today. This is yesterday, actually. Zoo elephants XXL contacts on order. This is the North Carolina Zoo. And so this big old elephant in the North Carolina Zoo, Czar, had cataracts. So she was getting lethargic. She was getting like she would just lean against the railing of the cage there and go, I just want to die. And so they took the cataracts out. Now she's just bounced back. Boy, she's just in good mood and happy and everything. And so now what they're going to actually try to do, now they've done this before, they said, for just a short term while something healed, but they're actually going to try to fit her with contact lenses. She's farsighted. So that's different right there. And never forget to take out your contacts at night. That's what I'm going to tell them. West Nile virus turns up in two birds at Lake Tahoe. Good. And nurses return to school because what they're saying is that nurses, a lot of people that hire nurses and stuff now, they require them to have a bachelor's degree. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I guess they can demand that because that's what they can demand, but I don't know that it makes you a better nurse. Anyhow, so that's a lot of nurses going back to school to get their degrees. Again, I don't understand that exactly why. You could tell disc jockeys they got a good bachelor's degree. What difference does it make? They really wouldn't be any smarter, really. You know, deep down, I can tell you. Haven't been one. All right, things are going on. I like this. I like the elephant story, though. I kind of thought that was fun. Anything else in here that's interesting? No, there's nothing there that I liked. They say, here's the perspective of the editorial of the Tribune. Walmart plans need more tinkering before it's okay. Itasca should nail down cost and nature of the road work. I thought they had nailed that down, but maybe not. Anyway, it's a truly unusual thing that's going on with the city of Itasca, there to me. Bike lane pedestrian improvements along northbound side of Los Osos Valley Road at Ocean Air and Laguna Lane will begin on Monday. This is right at Laguna Junior High School. So you remember what they were going to do? They were going to go from Ocean Air to the, whatever, what the name of that street is? Ocean Air to Laguna Lane. That's just where that's the one on the right-hand side of the junior high. And so junior high. And so what they're going to do then is they're going to make a kind of a pretty wide bike lane. So they said they're going to have the lane of traffic shut down off and on. It's going to be finished in August. And I this is interesting because I don't know if they did a survey or what they did, and to say this is what we've discovered. That, you know, the kids are reticent to ride their bikes, although I thought there was a cut-through place they were talking about. I'm confused. I thought there was a place they were going to cut through. And I think it had, remember there was a condominium outfit that was all upset about it because they had a bridge. And anyway, so I don't know. But there was a place I thought to cut through to go to the junior high. But so I don't know. People go pretty fast. And I know it says, you know, 25 during school hours and all that kind of stuff. Or whenever kids are present. What does that mean when children are present? Present where? On the sidewalk? I admit, I don't know. I don't know. I think if I saw a kid, I'd say, okay, I'm going to go 25 miles an hour. If I saw a kid, you know, anywhere, I'd go 25 miles an hour. But I think it's like when people go into school in the morning and leave in the afternoon. Am I right? Because the kids are on the playground right next to the dang thing. We don't care about that, do you? I don't think so. Anyway, so it's kind of weird. It's weird because I don't know it. That's what makes it strange, because Bill doesn't know. That's why. All right, other things are going on. Other things are happening in our world. I got one more story up here I was going to play for you. Let's see what this one is. See if this one's any good. Hello? Oh, there it is. A car that eats carbon dioxide? After these words from your sponsor.
I like it here.
And your chariot?
I love my chariot. It's powerful, spacious.
But not too big.
Just big enough.
This isn't a car, but...
And luxurious?
Very. Maybe I should come back.
Probably a good idea, yeah.
The entirely new Acura RDX. Intelligently built for the size of your life.
Scientist Dina Bandusaho is trying to prove the smallest of things can help solve one of the world's biggest problems. For 25 years, he's been peering into microscopes at algae, the organisms many of us see as unwanted pond scum. But he, among other scientists, have discovered this green-looking goo can actually be a weapon against global warming.
How amazing are algae?
They're beautiful. Microscopic to macroscopic. You can find them very, very small under the microscope. You can also see the algae, which can grow up to 70 meters long in the ocean like your giant kelp.
He's using this beautiful algae to create what amounts to a carbon-eating car. It works like this. Algae is poured into a container on the car. The tailpipe is fitted with a device that channels the exhaust through a tube and into the clear container. Carbon dioxide coming out of the tailpipe goes directly into the container. Sahu says algae can capture carbon dioxide, and with water and sunlight, the algae multiplies, and oxygen is produced as a byproduct. Bye-bye greenhouse gases, hello pure oxygen. Sahu made this rough prototype with $500 and fixed it to his old car. The problem with the invention as it is right now is nobody wants that on the top of their car, but our inventor here says that with the help of the automobile industry, it will get sleeker and become much more desirable.
They have been all trying for the hybrid cars, hydrogen cars, which are very, very expensive. And this is a very simple device which can be fitted into the car.
When it's time to replace the contents of the box with new algae solution, scientist Sahu says the waste can be turned into biofuel, which could in turn power vehicles. Worldwide, hundreds of millions of dollars have been poured into biofuel research. But there are experts who say they don't think algae-based biofuels would perform well in vehicles. And then there's the issue of building the infrastructure to create the biofuel, which would be hugely expensive. It would require a great deal of investment from industry and government policy to encourage its use. Still, Sahu hopes his relatively cheap invention can help cure the world's rising temperatures with seaweed. Sam Seidner, CNN, New Delhi.
All right, so here's the. Here, let me tell you what this thing's like. It's got the green goo in there, because that's what color algae is, of course. And so it was about 3 foot by 3 foot by about 2 feet high. And it was a tank full of green water, not full, but you know, a third of the way. And so he had a tube that came out. He had a special attachment he made so that the tube that came out of his exhaust pipe went into the tank of algae. But see, he was here was the interesting thing. He was driving the car as they were talking about it. So there's the thing. So it's all sloshing around in there, you know. So the question is, does it actually capture all the carbon dioxide? Or if it was sitting still and you ran the car in idle or whatever, would some of it just bubble out and go into the atmosphere? I'm already a skeptic already. I don't know anything about the dang algae thing. But he said he thinks it would be a biofuel. So for this to really work, what you'd have to do is you'd have to make it so you could actually just pump this through the algae, then pump the algae back into your tank, and eventually have perpetual motion as long as your car went, you know, the mechanical parts held up. I'm all for that. I'm right for that program right there. That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty expensive, I'd say. Okay. Work on that, buddy. Just hang around India. Work on that. I saw an ad in the paper over the weekend, and it had a thing that said, what did it say? Well, it said that the furniture that they were advertising was from Vietnam. And big letters, you know. Like, is that is that real desirable? Do they make good furniture there? I never saw any furniture. I wasn't involved in furniture when I was there, ever. Ever. That's not actually true. I'll tell you a strange tale real quick. These boats that we carry the troops on, you know, when they first sent them over there, they had this idea that was, you know, people just come up with this wacky stuff they do. Anyway, so what they did was they had these things that were almost impossible to clean the mud out of, and attached to them were little seats, little fiberglass seats that were supported by four. You know this shock-absorbing thing that used to be in the Chevy steering columns, you know, in case you had an accident before they had the seatbelt laws and all that stuff? So when you went forward, this thing would sort of absorb a lot of the shock of your chest smashing into the steering wheel. Anyway, they had those on the bottom of the seats. The theory being that if one of the boats hit a mine, instead of everybody, you know, all of a sudden having some terrible thing happen to them, that somehow these things would collapse, you know, they would collapse into the boat, and then you'd be okay. The very first time a boat hit a mine, and it was a troop carrier, it flipped completely upside down, the whole boat, and everybody was lost anyway. So immediately thereafter, we took them out, because there's no point in having them in, we decided. Yeah, you got to show people this was a really dumb idea. You got to show them. They won't believe you. You got to show them. All right. Other things are going on in our world. Things are happening right here. All right. There was something I wanted to tell you right here. Let me find out what it is. Okay, so the last thing I did over here was the whiff of romance. So this way you smell somebody's T-shirt. Now, and so one person said, I didn't want to smell perfume or deodorant or anything like that. I wanted just to be able to smell the person. But they also say that I was right about this, about, you know, you can identify. They say many, many mates, you know, people married each other can identify the other person by how they smell. It's just common, you know, our olfactory senses aren't great, but they're good enough to do that. I always said that. I always told my wife, I said, I could find you in a group of people if I could sniff everybody. You couldn't. Yeah, I could. Other things are going on. This is such a weird story. That's what I'm going to tell you about. This was in Hemet. In Hemet, of all places. You ever been to Hemet? There's nothing there. But apparently there's a fast food drive-thru place of some kind in Hemet. Anyway. So the guy in the counter, you know, behind the counter in the window, the guy in the drive-thru window got in a fight with a guy in a car. They started arguing about something, you know, too many ketchups or not enough, or the order was wrong. Who knows what it was? Anyway, the guy got out of the restaurant, left the restaurant, went around to the car and stabbed the guy. He's okay. I mean, he's not life-threatening, but it's serious, but he's not dead. So, you know, so here's what I'm telling you. So maybe they forgot the ketchup. Don't. Just bring some with you next time. Just bring some. Have it in your car. So in the glove compartment there. Have it in there so that if, you know, in case they forget the ketchup, you can just say, okay, no problem, and drive off without having to get stabbed over ketchup. Doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm saying. All right. Other things going on. We talked about the people being all nervous about U.S. drones being used more in the U.S. And then that lady wrote the article about the other thing. She said, I don't like that drone-y stuff. You know? There's more honorable ways. It's better to send a platoon of men in and have them all get killed than just use a drone. Okay. I guarantee you the person is old enough to remember Pearl Harbor. That's what I'm going to tell you right there. Because, see, that was called a sneak attack. I mean, you can say it was sneaky. It was a surprise. It was a good plan if they had pulled it off the way they could have, and if they pulled it off when they should have. If all the carriers had been in there and everything, you know, oh man, we'd be in big trouble. We were speaking Japanese to each other. But anyway, that's not what happened. So they blew it, luckily. All right, war against IEDs. There are these. New efforts underway to understand and fight back against the deadly weapons. So one of the things that, I don't know how they do it. I don't think about making an IED. But, you know, they use cell phones to trigger these things a lot of times. And so now they have jammers. They have you go in there. You know, you can buy illegal jammers for cell phones now. You can put it in your pocket. You can walk around in an airport or someplace or at your home because your kids are driving you nuts with a phone. And it'll jam their phone. So I guess they're attaching these things to soldiers and saying, here, at least it will nullify that kind of a bomb. But there's other bombs, you know, there's a lot of bombs, a lot of kind of bombs, it's all bad. All right. We got the storms. Here was in Phoenix, a 14-year-old boy. Somebody broke into the house. Somebody broke in the house, and a 14-year-old boy was babysitting his sister, whatever it was. And so he wasn't happy with the fact that they broke in the house. So then the guy had a gun, and the kid stared him down with a gun he got from his dad's bedroom, and he shot him dead as a door knocker. Which the guy didn't use. Afternoon and evening. We will get together again on tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Wednesday, the Dodgers, but Tuesday, tomorrow, we'll get together at noon. Until then, may all your trials be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet
again. You know, it's kind of hard to give up a love that really turns you on. Hey, kind of love that makes you strong. But all sometimes, it just don't work out. So you keep hanging in there. You just keep hanging. Because love means that much. Hey,
We're supposed to enjoy a simple affair. But how unkind it is to put me in a spin. Cause you go away and look at the trouble I'm in. But it don't mean a thing, no, no, no. I start to fall in love and stop to compare. Halfway to heaven I know I'm not gonna make it there. Now that I've had love and it's fair, I can't live with anything less. Now that I know how it ought to be, no other love does this to me. I used to have a list that I'm stealing back.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Now, with Supreme Court approval, Arizona police will be asking illegal immigrant suspects for their papers, and if they prove to be in the state illegally, the expectation is they'd be turned.